Welcome to Awesome Women Entrepreneurs, the AWE podcast, with your hosts, Karen Bate and Evelyn Powers. These are the stories of how awesome women become successful business owners, offering tips and advice for those considering or already taking the leap into entrepreneurship. The following episode originally aired on community radio WERA 96.7 FM, reaching listeners in Northern Virginia and Washington, D.C. And now, awesome women entrepreneurs. Today's host is Karen Bate.
Good morning. This is Karen Bate with Awesome Women Entrepreneurs. Welcome to our show here at 96.7 FM Arlington. I'm excited to welcome today's guest, Tina Fox, founder and CEO of Fox Paradigm, a business consulting firm that helps small to mid-sized businesses and divisions within larger firms solve problems, identify opportunities, and drive growth and results. She's also the founder of Women in Business, a professional women's networking group that has now evolved into an exciting new national organization called Women on Course. Hi, Tina. Great to have you here.
Good morning, Karen. Thanks for having me.
So we always start out with the basics. Tell us a little about yourself and your background, where you're from, your education and training, and how you chose to live and work here in Northern Virginia.
Sure. So my background is unique in that I'm Chinese American and I'm a military brat. My father is full bird colonel, U.S. Army, retired, so go Army. My mother hails from China, Shanghai, China, but she grew up in Taiwan.
I did not know that, and I've known you for quite a while.
Yeah.
That's so interesting.
The thing that I find so unique about that background is that I'm extraordinarily grateful for having a mixed race background and also being a military brat. And it afforded me the opportunity to be exposed to different cultures, languages, food, customs early and often. And this sort of built my level of understanding of other people, patience, tolerance, and it forced me to assimilate quickly because I was always the outsider having to come in. We moved quite frequently, as you can imagine, being a military brat.
Right.
And so I developed a healthy sense of authentic curiosity that has helped me in my later career.
Wow, that is so interesting. That's great to know about you. And it does kind of, I can see that in now that I'm thinking about all the things I know about you. So tell us about your entrepreneurial journey. How did you, where did you go to college? And then I think you started out in the corporate world, right? And then made the transition.
I did. So I went to school, I call Virginia home. Despite all the moves back and forth, for some reason, Virginia keeps calling me back. So the last time I was here, it was only supposed to be for 2 years and ended up meeting my husband. So my going on to other parts of the United States and the world halted because I wanted to stay here, obviously. I did graduate from James Madison University down the valley.
Okay.
Go Dukes. We are national football champions, and we're very proud of that.
Really?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
So we are up and coming. But Virginia is home, and I did spend time after school coming back up in the Northern Virginia area because I had chosen communication as my degree of study, and that was because I had always known I wanted to become a salesperson.
Mm-hmm.
I had done it very many years earlier as a child when I was selling newspapers and wrapping paper and candles. And it was a really fun role. And as a child, you don't hear no very often. You
right.
hear yes.
And so you liked it.
I did.
So I didn't even like selling Girl Scout cookies, but you enjoyed it.
I loved it because I won the grand prize, which a lot of people know was this teddy bear. And it sits in my office to this day. So it's a great reminder of my roots in sales.
I do think that there is a certain person who loves and thrives on sales and other people who think, oh, gosh, I can't do that. I can't ask somebody to buy something from me.
Well, for me, sales is, it really goes back to what I mentioned earlier about authentic curiosity.
Yeah.
Having to get to know people very rapidly helped me develop the opportunity to ask good questions. And in asking good questions, people are willing to reveal things about themselves that are extraordinarily interesting. And if you're willing to take the time to listen, you can continue to ask great questions to dive deeper. And so that really was the beginning of my sales journey.
So interesting. That's so true, though. Very, very true. Yeah.
I came back up here to Northern Virginia, and I got into a sales career. And my very first job was actually in the healthcare market, and it was selling forms. And I quickly realized that even though I was out there in healthcare, there were a lot of other people that were out there as well, and they were selling far sexier products than forms. And so I looked into what it was that they were selling, and I was very taken by medical devices. And at the time, this was the age of stenting in the interventional cardiology arena.
Oh, yeah.
And so I found myself in a career path that lasted 22 years in the medical device industry. Extraordinary career. I think that's what laid the foundation for me to become an entrepreneur. Primarily because I had worked for Fortune 100 companies, and there's a lot of great education and training that goes along with those organizations. And then in the latter part of my career, the last decade, I ended up in Western area startups. So I had the opportunity to see successful climbs of companies, like from $500 million up to $1.4 billion in under 18 months. Those are meteoric rises. We did see the sale of a small company that I was a part of the corporate team for $250 million to one of the larger Fortune 500 companies.
Wow.
And then, unfortunately, I also learned a lot of things through the closing of another company. Even though we had some great funding, we were not successful in growing it to a level where it ended up going for sale. So that organization closed. But there were a lot of learning lessons
sure.
in that as well.
I mean, every entrepreneur, everyone in business knows that failures have a lot of great lessons.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So there were mergers, there were acquisitions, there were booms, there were busts. There were company back orders and recalls. I know recently on the news we were hearing about Puerto Rico and how the plants down there held up Baxter and providing saline bags that are a much needed product here in the United States. When I was in the medical device arena, we too held a product that was a critical product for cardiac catheterization, and we supplied over 65% of the world for particular diagnostic catheters. And so we suffered through some back orders and recalls, and that taught me a lot as well in managing difficult situations. And then lastly, I'll just say, you know, from a people front, I think what prepared me for entrepreneurship was really the ability to identify, hire, train, and promote. But also on the flip side, the firing and the corporate downsizing that's required in order to grow a company properly.
Right. Yes, absolutely. Especially in bigger companies, obviously. Like a lot of people start a business because they just have a passion, and it maybe is a one-person show, and they're running it out of their home, and it's much smaller. But what you're talking about is very different from that. So what did you transition to do?
Well, becoming my own boss took a tremendous amount of time and consideration. I mean, you can imagine if you're part of a Fortune 100 family, and then even going into other startups, you're part of an organization that already exists. It's not your company. So there was a lot of vetting. There was a lot of praying. But the very first thing I did was I needed time to think. And so much to the chagrin and the awe, I guess, of people that were my colleagues, I demoted myself 9 levels. And I did that because I knew I could manage to the job at that level because I had done it successfully for many years. And it gave me the opportunity to get off the road because I was in a national travel capacity.
Right. Sounds like opening Western offices involved a lot of travel.
Absolutely. And it gave me time to think and to breathe. And that was about an 18-month to 2-year process of going through that. I conversed with several members in my community, family members, my personal advisory board, and I read anything that I could get my hands on because I was just very interested in finding out more about what it would take to be an entrepreneur. So that was this process that I had taken for over 2 years in order to prepare myself. And interestingly enough, one of my biggest champions is my spouse, my husband, Jeff Nowak. And he told me that you have skills and talents that are transferable outside of the single industry that you've known for your entire life. And I bet that you would be able to take those skills and create something new and something that you'd be extremely excited about. And so that's how Fox Paradigm started. It was with that encouragement.
I think that's so true. And it's so true of so many people in the corporate world. They have amazing mad skills that many entrepreneurs actually lack. And they are just, because they know so much, they're probably a bit more cautious than many of the crazy entrepreneurs that just jump off the cliff knowing nothing without even a business plan like yours truly. I mean, that's so amazing. And I love that term, my personal board of advisors. Who is on your personal board of advisors?
So it depends because, you know, as time goes on, you have different challenges and you have different needs. But I think everybody needs somebody that's there financially, spiritually, emotionally, somebody who's there to tell you the truth in all of those areas. And so I've had people that have come in and out of my life over different times, and they know who they are, that have supported me in all of those lanes. I find it very important to make sure that you identify different people, because I feel as though putting all of that pressure on one individual, whether it's a best friend or a boss or a colleague or a spouse, it's too much to demand of a person. So there's a handful of folks that I know will tell me the truth when I need it.
I just love that name. I've never used it before. We're going to start calling my circle my personal board of advisors. I think they'll probably love it.
They got a promotion.
So you started Fox Paradigm. And so tell me what your company does, what your services are.
So Fox Paradigm was really born because of the fact that I had a heavy background in sales and business development. And Jeff, my spouse at the time, was looking at starting Cobalt Settlements. And this is something that I'm very proud of. So this is a local community. This is Arlington headquartered title and settlement company. And one of the very first things I did with my consulting company was offer my services to Cobalt in order to grow our business to be different than others in the title and settlement services arena. And so we've been growing Cobalt for 3 years. We just extended our office space another 750 square feet. We opened up another office in Alexandria.
Wow.
And we've hired some amazing women to support the build out of Cobalt.
That's so great to hear. And so you and he both started entrepreneurial ventures at the same exact time.
We did. Talk about burning the ships.
I have never heard of that. So many women have the luxury of doing it, because they have a spouse who's bringing home the benefits, the salary, the healthcare, all of that stuff. That's really daring.
There was careful consideration. And, for the women out there, I will tell them, I have been in business since I was 20 and a half is when I graduated from college.
Wow.
And so my parents were instrumental in teaching me savings and don't outspend your earnings. So by putting away money every single year, it gave us the bandwidth and the cushion to be able to enter into entrepreneurship at the exact same time, because we knew that we had that as a backup. Of course, because we are husband and wife and we were burning the boats, we were prepared to move forward and just to take it down. And this is where we wanted to go. And we have not looked back 1 minute. It's been an absolute phenomenal ride.
It sounds very exciting. That is such a cool thing to do together as a couple. You could write a book about that, honestly.
Well, people ask me all the time, how do you work with your spouse? Isn't that crazy? I mean, you parent together, you hang out together, then you work together. And it really, it's a lot of fun, because what I lack in my skill sets, Jeff makes up for, and vice versa. And so in order for people to work together, particularly spouses, I always say, recognize which lane you operate in. It's like we're driving
It's like a partnership, even a partnership agreement. You do that. You have to know your swim lanes and.
Absolutely. It's like we're driving two cars down the highway. Mm-hmm. We have the same destination. We're just side by side in our own vehicles. And that's what makes it work. And so I'm very proud to have him as my business partner.
That's amazing. And you also have your strengths and weaknesses. And as long as you understand them and identify them and deal with them, it's really, instead of getting frustrated by them, I think that really helps too.
Yes. And because he's my spouse, he knows all my weaknesses.
So as a business founder and as the founder of Women in Business and now Women on Course, you've been recognized locally and nationally for your leadership and support of other women, including the prestigious award you received from NABO last year. Congratulations,
The
way. That was super impressive. Was getting involved like this in the community and as a supporter of women a personal strategy as well as a business strategy?
I'd love to say it was a business strategy, but I'd be lying to you. I did this because this is a passion. I mentioned I'd spent 22 years in corporate America, and I loved my former career. I loved everything about it. I had some really great champions and supporters throughout my career. However, when I look back, I do feel as though there are aspects of that path that could have been more fair. And I think as a woman in business, a lot of people can understand what that means for them. And I wish I had known certain things. And so when I decided to create Women in Business, it was really more because I wanted my trials and errors and tribulations. I wanted to be able to identify with other women. And if there's anything that I could support them in, teach them, help them through, grow, develop, then I wanted to be able to be that person for them. And we started with a very, very small group. It was 8 women that I had met out in my networking. I thought they had extraordinary careers. Many of them were on the career after the career. Mm-hmm. And so we came from a common place and we wanted to support each other in growth. And the conversation was very robust. And there was a lot of interest in, you know what, I just want to bring some other like-minded women that want to see professional growth into this group. And so in a series of about 2 to 2.5 years, we grew from 8 to, we ended last year at 1,300 women in the Northern Virginia, D.C. metro area.
It just never ceases to amaze me how hungry women are for these types of experiences where you get together, you sit down, you have a meal or a glass of wine, and you talk business. And there's something about it being all women, no disrespect to men, that's very freeing. And I've had women, as of course, because I had a similar experience starting AWE. Mm-hmm. I just knew so many women running their own businesses. We were all giving each other business, referring each other, supporting each other. And we just decided to kind of formalize it and have a group that met once a month and invite people to join us so that they could benefit from the energy that was in the room. So many women have said to me, what you've created is a safe space for us to be vulnerable and to be honest about what it's really like to be out in business. And in your former work environment and in any corporate environment, even at the local Chamber of Commerce meetings, it's not the same. You're putting on your best face. You're being a captain of the universe. You're projecting that you know everything. You're on top of everything. You would never at one of those settings talk about the fact that you had a sick child at home and they were, you know, hanging over your shoulder, throwing up while you're on the phone with a client, or all of the struggles that we all have as women with our families and juggling everything. And you just can't be real and talk about all that stuff. So I feel like even though it's all about growing our businesses, that personal part that undergirds it and that makes us feel safe is so important. And I think it's what makes it work.
Absolutely. There's not enough of the AWEs out there. There's not enough of the women in business now, women on course. Because women are still hungry for gathering in those types of settings. And one of the things I focused on when I grew Women in Business, and I had to make a lot of changes because as we continued to grow, there were different needs, there were different ideas. And so we always wanted to have a really participatory conversation. And so one of the things that the tenets I held true to was, as we bring these women in business together to have great conversations, we choose one ubiquitous business topic that supersedes all different avenues. So whether you're an accountant or you're a dentist or you're somebody in marketing, it doesn't matter. There are certain business issues that exist across all of those fields. And so we pick that topic very carefully with the board of advisors, and then we vet that topic. We build out a workshop, and the whole purpose is for these women to come so that they're not attendees in this meeting, but they are participants. Because in my experience, I've gone to many different meetings where I've truly enjoyed the speaker. But oftentimes, because we are very busy women, we come away from that talk, we've taken extraordinary notes, we want to implement everything we learned, and then Monday happens.
Right.
And it's back to the same old, same old. And we never have a chance to work on ourselves. So Women in Business is all about giving them the space and the time to kick it off with a 10-minute, what we call grounding talk, and then we turn it into the workshop where they work on themselves in small groups.
And I've been to it, and it's wonderful. We did the one on personal branding, and it was just fantastic. So tell us more about Women on Course now. You've evolved into Women on Course. You have a partner, and this sounds like an amazing organization. So what led you to go in this direction, and what are your goals and mission?
So this is another one of those things. I wish I had a plan, but things just happen, and I've learned now, later in life, you roll with it. And so Donna Hoffman is the original founder of Women on Course. She founded the organization about 13 years ago. And I met her as a panelist on with a group on women on sales. And I'm listening to her story, and I just found her absolutely fascinating. So that authentic curiosity kicked back in, and I said, you know, would you mind grabbing lunch with me? I'm just curious as to what it is that you do. How did you grow this group, et cetera? And so we had a series of conversations over many, many months. Long story short, we decided that each of us had unique, non-traditional methods of networking for women, particularly women in business. And we did it in our own particular ways. And by combining the two, we could offer both of our audience a larger, more in-depth opportunity to connect. And so the goal of Women on Course is really to provide a community of diverse and influential women built around interactive business, which is where the Women in Business comes in, and lifestyle topics. And that's what Donna's group had been a part of. It was all about lifestyle topics with opportunities to create connections and deepen the relationships of these women, and then really to develop the personal and professional skills. That's our goal. So she brings, I say she always brings the lifestyle stuff. So she's been focused on getting women out on the golf course because there are a lot of deals that are made out on the golf course.
I love that.
And it also gets people outside. It gets them exercising. It gets them learning a whole new skill. And it's just a ton of fun.
And getting fresh air and walking around. And it's an area that women have felt excluded from, I think, in the past, too.
Certainly.
So, yeah, that's a really brilliant idea.
Certainly. So she started with that. But over time, the women in her group wanted to see more lifestyle opportunities. So she expanded into wine, mastering the wine list, as well as fashion, and then travel. So between what she offers in those areas and what I offer in what we now call the Success Series, we have a new Women on Course that delivers all of that to any of the women in the cities that we participate.
That's amazing. So tell us, when is your next meeting coming up?
So February 21st is the next meeting. That's a Wednesday. It's going to be here in the Arlington area, and that is at the Army-Navy Country Club. Beautiful venue.
Yes, beautiful.
And it's our first time that we're going to be there, so we're looking forward to it.
That's terrific. And as a local business leader and supporter of women, you are likely an inspiration and even a mentor to several women. Who are some of your own mentors and who inspired you?
So I've been very fortunate to have many different people inspire me, men and women alike. And I think inspiration really starts with an open mind and a positive attitude, because if you don't have those two things, you're going to miss out on inspiring moments. So that's the first thing. I will say that I had the pleasure when I was back at JMU, I was part of a team called the University Program Board, and we had invited the late, great Miss Maya Angelou, and I was in charge of her program, and I thought I was sitting with an earthly angel. She is as magnificent as everybody has ever said she is, and always will be. And so she was a huge inspiration to me, because she is quoted as saying, "I've learned that people will forget what you said. People will forget what you did, but people will never forget how you made them feel." And I will never forget that I'm sitting there, and everything that she was made me feel very special, like I was the only person in the room of at least 50 other people wanting to chat with her. So she was a true inspiration. And then
that is so amazing. And that is, of course, also the trait of almost every great leader.
Yes.
Is that they have the ability, every great politician, every great leader, they can focus on one person and just really zone in and make a connection. And not everyone has that ability.
Yeah, she certainly did. But I would be doing a huge disservice to my mother if I just mentioned Miss Maya Angelou. So I would like to highlight my mom. I mentioned that she is Chinese, and my mom has always been a woman ahead of her time. She's a pioneer in many ways. She's Chinese-born, Taiwan-raised. She met my father in her late 20s. They were married. She immigrated here to the United States, and she was the original salesperson, because as a military spouse, you really have a hard time identifying with a career path since you're moving. I remember my mom used to sell Tupperware and Nu Skin, and I was always fascinated at how she was able to connect with people. So she really got me into thinking about sales and inspired me. And then she ended up getting her degree in computer language. And she was one of the original female computer programmers with the language of COBOL. So
wow.
My mom is a huge inspiration.
Oh, and that's interesting that that's the name of your husband's company,
yes,
too.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
Bringing it full circle.
That's right.
So how can people follow you and check out your website, learn more about you and Women on Course, and maybe sign up for one of your events?
Sounds great. So I'm on LinkedIn, and they can find me there, Tina Fox at FP, Facebook, and then womenoncourse.com would be the best places to reach out.
So Tina, what advice would you give to other women hoping to start their own businesses or organization? What do you think are the most important qualities to be a successful entrepreneur?
Okay, so here's my top 10 tips for people thinking to start your own business. 10, research well. 9, create a plan. This does not have to be detailed written document, because startups change before the ink even dries. So just have a plan, but know that you need to be, which is number 8, be flexible and resilient. Know that you're in it for the long haul. Take a moment to celebrate what I call inch stones the way you would milestones. Make impact with what you are good at, but seek to learn things that are outside of your comfort zone. When it's time, let go of control and hire well. Surround yourself with support, but also with those that speak the truth. Be a servant leader. We need more of them. Don't lose sight of what's important to you while pursuing the dream. And then as far as the qualities, I love things in powers of 3. So here we go on the qualities. Know your worth. Believe that you can provide value and express what that is. And then finally, lead in your lane and use your voice for a positive change.
That is amazing. I'm going to ask you to email me that, and I'm going to put that on a little, you know, thing on my wall in my office. And you're going to have to come and speak to the AWE group too, because this is just fantastic. Thank you.
I've had a lot of fun today. Thank you, Karen.
You've been listening to Awesome Women Entrepreneurs, the AWE podcast, with your host, Karen Bate. You can listen to Awesome Women Entrepreneurs wherever you get your podcasts, but never miss an episode by subscribing on Apple Podcasts. Check out awesomewomen.org to become part of the AWE community and follow us on social media too. To ask a question, send us a message, or if you know an awesome woman entrepreneur you think should be on the show, email info@awesomewomen.org. Thanks for listening and keep being awesome.